New Testament reading is, I'll just move to this one. The New Testament reading is Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Help if I headed everything in the right direction. A little bit about me, because it's kind of pertinent to this. Some of you know a little bit about my history, some of you don't. But I was raised in church from a young age. In the years where I would have been in tiny moments, I was in a Methodist church. And then after sixth grade, we moved, and for a few years, I was not in a church. And one morning, my mom just decided that we were going to go to church. We all looked at her like she had grown a second head. And she took us to an Assemblies of God church, which if you know anything about Assemblies of God and if you know anything about a Methodist church, they are widely different. It was a bit of a culture shock. And then after high school, I came to Alderson Broaddus, and I got my first experience with Baptist churches through Baptist Campus Ministries. And then I'm here, and so that's kind of a very short history of Madison for you. But the topic, as you can tell, is about a life of worship, which, going from different denominations of churches, it makes this topic really close to my heart, because experiencing different ways to worship has kind of defined how I see my relationship with God. And so I tell you all of this because I speak better when I can kind of relate it to myself, because I'm still pretty young and I don't have that much experience, so it's not like I can like branch out really. So bear with me. I kind of included a basic definition, which worship is praising God. I took a class with Christian Studies. Michael was in it with me. It's Christian Worship and Spirituality, and one of the books that we used was Unceasing Worship, and it talked about continuous outpouring, and that's how Best, the author, describes worship. And it starts that God continuously outpours to us his love and you know, his time he invests in us. He continually outpours into us, and because he does that, we can continuously outpour back to him. And once we get that cycle going, then we can continuously outpour to others, and they continuously outpour to us. So it becomes this triad, and that's kind of how he defines worship. So I'm kind of going to look at what worship, what I've learned about it. So I'll start with 2 Samuel 6:14 through 16 and 20 through 22. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls and of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." So the first thing that I learned about worship from my different places is worship is personal, and it is freeing. David's praise of God and this whole situation was not about his relationship with anyone else. It was about his relationship with God. He was so happy that it didn't matter what anyone else thought. It was about praising God because that was his relationship with God. And it was freeing because didn't matter what anyone else thought. Whenever Mikkel said, "How you've distinguished yourself," you know, she's mastered the art of sarcasm here. And so he responds, you know, "I will be humiliated in my own eyes." It's not about what he looks like when he's worshiping. It is about simply worshiping God. And that is one of the hardest lessons I have ever had to learn, because I'm, especially at my age, it's all about what people think. It's all about, oh, how am I presenting myself? Are they going to think I look okay? Are they going to think I look cool? Are they going to think I look weird? And so learning this lesson of, it's not about them. It's about God and only God and my relationship with God. But I don't know, David understands it way better than I do. Point two. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." And Psalm 100:2 says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." So worship is something we're called to do. I mean, when it says right there, worship the Lord, you know, it's a command, you know. And I think, you know, it's wonderful to just be like, oh, this is fun right off the bat. And if you are able to do that, that's awesome. But it kind of took a while for me to also understand that it was something that God wanted me to do because he called me to do it. And I don't know. Like I said, worship is really close to my heart. So, you know, I think about how difficult it sometimes had been for me, especially in that first transition from Methodist to Assemblies of God, because I came in that first day and I was used to a Methodist church where just play the piano, sing some hymns. That's worship. Get to an Assemblies of God church, and right off the bat, there's a whole band set up front, loudspeakers, and they're singing. Someone's got an electric guitar. Someone's on the drums. And my eyes just got really big because I had never seen anything like this in a church. I didn't know that that was okay. And then as soon as they start playing, it is so loud. And I just remember getting this headache and having to sit down because it was such a shock to my body to be that loud in a church. And then on top of that, you know, people were yelling out praises to God and raising their hands. And of course, as you might associate with a Pentecostal church, a couple people speaking in tongues, and that freaked me out. And so this whole time, I'm just sitting there uncomfortably and not thinking about the fact that God in that moment is calling me to praise him even when I'm uncomfortable. 1 Peter 4:11, "If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God, with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So that brings me to point three. Worship should be in everything we do, so that in all things, God may be praised. Psalm 16:7-9 says, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure." There's a couple more verses there that just talk about praising God all day long, and that what you do, you know, Romans 15:7, "Accept one another then, just as Jesus Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." That all these different things can be bringing praise. You know, starting out, worship was coming to church. And then I learn in a class and through other things that worship is everything. Worship is doing my dishes, even when I don't want to. Worship is doing my homework. Worship is attending class. Worship is talking to someone about God. Last night, I was sitting and I was working on my notes for this. I'd already had an outline done, but I wanted to like really make sure I had it. And I'm sitting out in my common room, and some of my sweet mates had gone to, there was a party on campus, and they had gone to that. But before they were going, they were in their room, and they were getting excited and ready for the party. And this guy walks out of their room, and he's heading out, and he looks over at me, and he goes, "Oh, you studying for finals?" And I said, "No, I'm working on a sermon." And he just kind of like widened his eyes, like, "Really?" he's like, "Oh, that's cool. What's it on?" So he sits down, and I kind of talked about it a little bit, and he sees my first bit of verses. He's like, "Oh, you're talking about David? He knows all about worship, man." And I'm like, "Okay, we're having a real Jesus talk right now. This is great." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, this is great." And I was like, "Yeah, and I'm talking about, you know," this, he goes, "I know that story." And I was like, "This is awesome." And then he looks and he sees that there's a couple verses from Psalms. He's like, "Dude, you use Psalms. That's all about worship. That's awesome. You're going to do great." And I'm like, this is just the confidence boost I needed before tomorrow. Someone I didn't even know knew anything about God is sitting there like, "Yes, David. Yes, Psalms." And I'm like, "Oh, cool." And before he leaves, he just looks at me and he goes, "I see you." And I thought about that phrase a lot last night because, you know, that's not a phrase that I would typically use when saying like, "Okay, that's real cool. You know, you're going to do great." He just said, "I see you." And it was kind of this, not just this understanding of, I thought you were sitting there studying, and now I know you're one of those Jesus people. You know, there's that aspect of it, but there's also like an understanding of my heart in that moment. And it was really cool to me to connect to another human being in that way because I was sitting in the common room working on it instead of in my own room, and he happened to be walking by, and he happened to know some of the verses, and he was just so excited about it. And in the middle of people preparing to go to a party, and, you know, they were behind a closed door, so I don't know what all was going on in there, but in that moment, to just have that unexpected, "I see you. This is cool. You're going to do great." And he even turned around and was like, "You're going to do awesome." And then he left. And I was just like, "Thanks." You know, like, I don't even know this person's name. We've never even talked about each other's names. He, you know, just quick moment of talking and left. But the idea that in that moment, I was worshiping God because I was talking to someone about the word that he gave to me. And it was the most incredible feeling. It goes back to that moment where it's freeing because I had been so focused on this needs to be perfect and that needs to be perfect and I want it to sound perfect. And it just kind of completely brought me out of that because there was no question of, "Oh, like, what order are you going to do this in? And how are you going to present it? What are you know, like, what are you going to wear?" Like, there was none of that that was going on in my head. It was simply, he looked at the scripture and he said, "You're going to do great." And I thought about it and I was like, I really needed that. My last point comes from a couple verses. The first I read at the beginning, Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, and the other one is Romans 12, 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." In moments where I transition between different churches, it was so easy to right off the bat be like, "This is not what church is supposed to look like. This is not how I'm supposed to worship God. Like, I can't praise God here." You know, like, it's easy to get into that mindset, but then learning that worship is a sacrifice that we offer, that sometimes worship takes work. It doesn't just come right to you off of the bat. It's not something that, like, I don't know. Like, for some people, they come to church on a Sunday and they are feeling totally worn down by the week. And in those first moments where they hear the praise music going, they might be thinking about bills that need to be paid that they have no idea where the money's coming from. They might be thinking about a fight they just got into yesterday with someone they're close with. And they're so focused on that that it might take a lot of work just to focus on the words of the song to be able to sing them, let alone get the heart in the right place. I've had those days. I think back toward the beginning of starting at that church, I was uncomfortable there. And so one Sunday, I just decided I wasn't going to go. And my mom asked me several times. She wasn't one to force us to go to church. She wanted us to make that decision on our own. And so she asked me several times, giving me plenty of opportunities to change my mind, and I said no. And I told her I wasn't feeling well, but she knew I was lying. I just didn't want to go. And as soon as everyone left, I had this huge feeling of conviction, like, you should have gone. And I felt so guilty that, like, I was sitting there watching TV, and I couldn't even watch anything that would have been, like, I don't know, at that age, like, Disney Channel, something like, I don't know. I couldn't watch any of that because I just felt so guilty that everyone else was at church and I was at home by myself, perfectly okay, could have gone. And so I ended up flipping through and I ended up on a like Christian music channel that was playing music videos. And at first I'm like, okay, you know, doing something for you, God. I'm listening to Christian music. That counts for something, right? You know? And I remember the song that came on right around the time that I was just like, it was My Redeemer Lives. And for some reason, that hit me so hard because, I mean, I don't even know exactly why in that moment, but it was like the words hit me. It was, and part of it probably had a lot to do with the singer, just had this incredible voice, and I was like, wow, that's, I wish I had that kind of talent in me. You know, you ever have those moments? But I don't know, like that in that moment, it woke me up a little bit and that I started to worship because I knew I needed to and I felt guilty when I didn't. But still that was, I don't know, still narrow in my view that just, that counts. And it does. But I could have been doing so much more if I had fully given my heart to it. If I had offered myself as a living sacrifice to God and said, I'm going to worship you today, despite the fact that this church makes me feel uncomfortable, despite the fact that I stayed up too late and I don't really want to get out of bed this morning, you know. Relationships take work. The same is true of a relationship with God. It isn't always easy to have the confidence of David in worshiping God, and it may take work to stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking about God, giving everything to him. You know, especially, I don't know, maybe Michael can attest to this, maybe he can't, maybe John can attest to this, maybe he can't, but the moments before standing in front of people and speaking and starting to worry about yourself in some way, about, I'm not good enough for this, or am I gonna say things right? Am I gonna read it wrong? And just in that moment, we focus so much on ourselves and like freaking out. That's what I do, I freak out. But then it takes work to refocus. Like, it's not about me. It's not about whether Jennifer is gonna come up to me later and be like, that was awful. I'm gonna hope she doesn't, but it's not about that or worrying about that. It's about, I am here to worship God and to praise him and to be thankful for the opportunities he has given me, because without him, there is no way I would be where I am today. I would probably be the same mousy person that I was when I started college, hiding in my room, afraid to go out and do anything. And so it is about thanking him for that in everything I do, in writing 12-page papers, in assisting the nursery at Celebrate Recovery, in walking a friend back to her room if she's in a less than coherent state. You know, it's in everything. And it took so long for me to see that. You know, but although it takes work, you know, like I said, it's worth it. You know, in a moment where someone talks to me and I feel that huge boost that I did what God asked me to do. And once you get to the point of that continuous outpouring, that moment where God's pouring into your life and you're giving it back to him, and then all of a sudden you can start pouring out to others and they're pouring back into your life, you know, it makes it so much easier to keep going. You know, once something gains momentum, it's a lot harder to stop. So for me, the goal comes in John 4:23-24. Yet a time is coming, it has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in the truth. It is my every prayer that I can become the kind of worshiper that God is seeking. Because I love being found by God. It is really cool. Please pray with me. Lord, we are so blessed by the way that you continuously outpour into our lives. We ask that as we go forward, you help us to work for the worship that you deserve. Lord, we ask that it be in everything that we do, and that we let it be an experience that is personal and freeing to us. Help us as we go forth to the potluck downstairs, to wherever we're headed when we leave, in safe travels and in fellowship and in continuously outpouring with each other. Amen.